Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Hey, Reach. This is Pastor Heath. Welcome to Reach Community Church Home Edition. We're doing this because North Carolina right now is getting some severe weather. Not right now, but it's coming potentially Saturday and Sunday. So you're watching this and either we didn't get anything and I'm sorry that we missed church for no good reason, or we got a pretty good amount of snow, at least for the South. So we want you to stay warm and safe, but we wanted to give you something that you could do with your family this morning as we get into the Word. The next couple of weeks, we're going to be in Exodus. Today, we're going to be in Exodus 3, verses 1 through 12. So if you want to pause this, read it to your family, and then come back, we're going to go through. But the idea this morning is that before God delivers, He reveals. I believe God is much more interested in you knowing Him, in Him knowing you, than He is on giving you convenience or comfort or even healing or deliverance from something. He's interested in knowing you. I think the entire Bible is about God's interest and desire to have a people that know Him as Father. And so we're going to jump in to Exodus 3 this morning, starting in verse 1. Let me lead up to Exodus 3. So we've met Moses. Moses came in a time that the people of Israel have been forced into slavery. Joseph saved Egypt, and really that side of the world, his family line grew to a large population. The Pharaoh that didn't know, a different Pharaoh comes in, didn't know the history and the past, and their population has grown, and he's force them into slavery, and they've grown so much they're a little afraid that they may become too many of a people. And so Pharaoh has this idea that he's going to eliminate children, males under a certain age, 2 years old. And so Moses's parents, they see something about him. We don't really know why, other than they love this child. But the mother put him in a basket and pushed him down the river, and one of Pharaoh's daughters finds him. And in finding him, she falls in love with him enough that she wants to keep this little child. And so Moses grows up in Pharaoh's house, but knowing who he is. And later on, he sees an Egyptian fighting with some Hebrews, and he intervenes. And he intervenes by killing this Egyptian, buries him. And then he finds out people know about this, so he runs. And before what we get in today, Moses meets a family, marries one of the daughters, and is a shepherd for like 40 years. And this is where we pick up today's text. Start in verse 1 of chapter 3 in Exodus. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. Not normal. Probably terrifying. Maybe at first he was like, oh, that's weird. It's a bush. I mean, things caught on fire back then. But he's like, well, what's going on? Because it's not being consumed. There's just this flame that's going on. And so he goes in to look. And one thing that we need to know about, or I think this kind of shows, is God often shows up in ordinary faithfulness. Moses didn't go out into the wilderness so that he could become what we know of Moses, the man that's going to rescue and redeem the people of God. He goes there to run away, and in his efforts to hide, God finds him. But he was just being a faithful shepherd, raising a family. By this point, Moses' life, his resume is gone. all that he had learned and known and done for the Egyptians, that's gone. There's no palace anymore. There's no position. There's no influence he has over the great nation that he was in before. There was no crowd following him. He's 40 years removed from Egypt, working a job no one notices, shepherding someone else's sheep in a wilderness. And that is where God shows up. God doesn't interrupt Moses' life while he's chasing significance. He interrupts him while he's being faithful, while he's just doing everyday thing. He's just out there living his life, just like you're probably doing. You're working that job. You're doing the things that everybody else does, not necessarily even pursuing what God may have in store for you. Moses wasn't fasting. He wasn't praying. He didn't just come off 21 days of prayer and fasting. He was like, man, I'm ready for what God has. He wasn't looking for a sign. He was simply doing what was in front of him. Many people are waiting for God to move them forward while ignoring where God has placed them, ignoring the location they're at, where they live, the neighborhoods, the workplace, and kind of thinking, man, one day later when all the things work out, but right now, like, I'm just in this ordinary place, just like Moses. We often think if God wants to use me, he'll move me somewhere else. Or once I'm in a better season, then I'll be faithful. But scripture shows the opposite. Faithfulness precedes calling. I think, and I mean, God could have showed up to Moses at any point, but God showed up 40 years of doing what he's doing. 40 years of faithfully just living life and doing his thing. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. He sees this burning bush. He turns aside. Why this bush is not burned? When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals off your feet, for this place on which you're standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. God reveals his holiness before his plan. So one thing that we have to understand, we don't serve or pursue a God that doesn't care about our life. We serve a God who wants justice, wants our lives turned over to him. He wants us to know that he is holy. And this is what he tells Moses. And so Moses takes off his sandals. Notice what God does not do first. He does not explain the mission. He didn't sit down and say, hey, here's all the things that I'm going to do. He doesn't outline the strategy. He doesn't mention Pharaoh, the people, the plan, any of that. First, he reveals his holiness. The ground isn't holy because it's special land. It's holy because God is present. What's really cool is, like, right now where you're sitting, where you're watching this, the presence of God is there, can interact with you even there. It doesn't have to be just in this church building. It could be where you find yourself right now. Moses must learn reverence before leadership. Taking off his sandals wasn't an act of humility. It was acknowledging God's authority and Moses' smallness. Deliverance that is not rooted in holiness becomes human-centered activism. One of the things that we do, even in church, is we try to fix all of our problems ourselves. We try to activate this part of us that's like, we're gonna remedy this issue that I have. And God wants to intervene with us. He wants to participate in it. And that's what he was inviting Moses into, not Moses' strategy of what he's planning to do and how he's going to rescue the people. His attempt to rescue earlier was the death of one Egyptian and him running away for 40 years. God isn't just looking for a willing servant. He's forming a reverent one, one that knows the God that he follows. Before Moses can stand before Pharaoh, he must learn how to stand before God. Because I'm sure Pharaoh was super intimidating. I'm sure going back there meant potentially his death because he ran away because he killed somebody. But he had to understand that God was greater than Pharaoh, and that's partly what God's going to do over most of Exodus. And notice Moses' response. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. This is not fear that runs away. This is fear that bows, that understands with humility who God is and what he's offering. Verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a promise that was spoken by Jacob hundreds of years before, that this would be where they would go, that their people would be in Egypt for a specific time, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites. You know me in these great Old Testament names, and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. See, God sees suffering before he sends the deliverer. He understands the suffering that's going on. Before God gives Moses a task, he reveals his heart. God wants Moses to know something critical. Israel's pain is not new information to him. God sees, God hears, God knows. Their suffering hasn't been ignored. It had been observed with compassion. Finally, it had gotten to the point that God was going to do what he had promised to do. And notice the order. God speaks compassion before strategy. God is never rushed by suffering, but he is never indifferent to it. And when we are waiting, or in these seasons of waiting, it can feel like silence means absence, that God's not there. And maybe you're right now, you're like, I don't get any of this. Like, I don't feel that he's compassion to me at all. And sometimes I'm sure this is hundreds of years of slavery to the people of God. And they, I'm sure lots of them felt like, where is God? But Exodus reminds us, silence is not indifference. Delay is not neglect. God's timing is shaped by wisdom, not apathy. And when God says, I have come down to deliver them, it reveals something beautiful. Deliverance begins in the heart of God before it ever appears in human history. This was not Moses' idea, this was God's. Verse 10, come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, but I will be with you. This is God saying to Moses, he's like, who am I? And he was like, I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain, where he's at right now. He's saying, it's going to be done, and you'll know that it was going to be done when you get back to this place. God promised his presence before success. This is the moment Moses probably feared. And his response is painfully honest. Like some of us, we think, oh yeah, I got this. I'm your man, God. Most of the people that God comes to in the Bible, they aren't that person. They're like, I'm not worthy. to be that person? Who am I that I should go? Moses doesn't argue theology. He questions himself. God's answer is not, you're capable, you're gifted, you're experienced. God says, but I will be with you. That's the promise. God does not, and we see this through the story, God does not remove Moses' weaknesses. He overrides it with his presence. And notice the sign God gives, when you have brought the people out, you shall serve God on this mountain. God is telling Moses that you can trust him to do what he said, but you won't see the fulfillment until you walk this out. A lot of our deliverance, a lot of our freedom won't come from just sitting and waiting for God to do the thing. He calls us to walk in obedience. And as we walk into these things, God brings the deliverance that we've been looking for. That's what happens. He's telling them, you won't know until you get back here. But when you get back here and worship on this mountain, you'll understand what I've been doing. The confirmation comes after obedience, not before. A gospel tie-in to this. God doesn't promise ease. He promises himself. That's enough. Presence is better than clarity, his presence. His presence is stronger than confidence. His presence is what turns obedience into worship. That's what happened. They worshiped on the other side. Exodus 3 doesn't prepare us for Moses. It prepares us for Jesus. I believe that the whole Old Testament is pointing to the Savior, the Messiah, to Jesus. In the burning bush, God reveals a pattern that reaches its fulfillment in the gospel. God sees his people suffering. God comes down to deliver. And God sends a deliverer. But Moses was never the final answer. Moses would confront Pharaoh, but he could not change hearts. Moses could lead Israel out of Egypt, but he could not take the Egypt out of the people. Moses indeed or needed God's presence, but even Moses would fail. So one day, God did more than appear in fire. He came down in flesh, just like Moses. Jesus was sent, not from a palace, but from obscurity. Not from worldly power, but with divine authority. Not to confront a tyrant, but to confront sin and death itself. And where Moses stood before holy ground and removed his sandals, Jesus stood on cursed ground and wore a crown of thorns. At the cross, holiness and compassion met fully. God's holiness demanded justice. God's compassion provided a substitute. Jesus became the great deliverer. Not freeing people from Egypt, but from the bondage of sin. Not offering temporary rescue, but eternal redemption. And here's the beauty for us. The same promise God gave Moses still stands, but in Christ, it's even better. I will be with you. Through the Holy Spirit, God's presence no longer dwells in a bush or on a mountain. It dwells in his people. So when God calls us to obedience, he does not ask us to go alone. When God sends us into hard places, he does not abandon us. When God forms us in a waiting season, he is not withholding, he is preparing. And I said this a couple weeks ago, let him work. And this morning, I just want to encourage you. I don't know where you're at and what you potentially need to be delivered from, but let me just tell you this, God is interested in you. God's interested in you enough that today you're watching this. Maybe it's in the future and you're seeing this video. And maybe for the first time you're potentially believing that God is interested in letting you know him and him know you. And so where I want to encourage you this morning is God is much more interested in him being known by you. And so the gospel opens the door for that. You may feel like you're not worthy. Moses didn't feel like he was worthy. God uses broken people, but now we have something greater than Moses. We have Jesus that has done for us what we couldn't do. And so what I'd like to do, like we do on Sunday mornings, I want to speak a blessing over you and I pray for you. And I just encourage you this morning, there'll be some questions to talk about with this on our social media. You can find those. But God's presence is with you. He's everywhere, and I just encourage you to invite that presence in. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, thank you for your interest in us. And Lord, I pray for those out there that are struggling and silent, and they feel like the Egyptians that have been deserted for hundreds of years. And Lord, your rescue is here. And that means of rescue is your son. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning or whenever we're watching this, Lord, that you would open our heart to trust you, to see that your interest for us is not just to give us something. Your interest in us is so that we can have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do that this morning, that you would show up and show us your love, even in the places we find ourselves listening to this right now. Lord, we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.